Tips on 6PR. Thanks to Signorama Canning Vale. Proud signage partners of 6PR's mobile studio. Talk to Mark or Sky.
2.5 minutes to 11 on the morning program. Now, neighbourhood disputes don't get much nastier than the one that Emily Moulton's sort of unveiled, I guess, revealed on the front page of the West Australian. There's multiple layers to it, I think. There's probably a series of escalations, you know, without knowing the parties, without knowing the facts. I think you can take it as read that this has been going on for a while. There's a lot of focus on the fact that that footies and tennis balls have ended up over the fence and the kids are, you know, jumping the fence to go and retrieve them. I reckon that's pretty common, and I reckon it's the sort of thing that wouldn't bend most people out of shape too much. But maybe I'm wrong about that. If you've had to deal with this, 9221882, there's more to it. There's a fence involved, a brick wall. There's a cubby house that wants to come down. There's cracking. So there's a lot going on. But being neighbourly, I think, is important. It's much nicer for everyone if you can get on. To see something like this end up in a Supreme Court writ is quite remarkable. What about the law of it? Aaron McDonald is a lawyer from Pragma Lawyers. Aaron, good morning.
Hey, Gareth. How are you going?
I'm okay. Hey, how often do we see things escalate to this level?
Yeah, more common than you'd think, actually, Gareth. I'm part of a community legal centre, and 1 in 10 of the matters that come through the door are dividing fences, act disputes, these sorts of matters. So it's a lot more common than you think.
How often does it get to this stage, though? I mean, I know that people have it is probably the most disputed inanimate object in the world is the boundary fence, but to see it get to a Supreme Court writ?
No, quite rare. You'd only see a case like this in the Supreme Court once a year or once every couple of years. The last one that springs to my mind that's sort of similar was the publicised case about the Raffles Hotel and the noise that was being emanating from the Raffles. But and the person that brought that claim lost. And I think in this case, I mean, the Supreme Court, Gareth, is a place where you sue parties for millions of dollars. It's a case, it's a forum where people go to determine criminal charges, very serious criminal charges. It's not the forum, in my view, for people to be arguing about balls going over the fence. And I think the Supreme Court judges there will, I imagine, will have a similar view.
Well, I mean, is there any legal foundation for a challenge like this? Because there's...
Sure.
There are some interesting legal concepts involved.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. In order to bring a claim to the Supreme Court, you need to have a cause of action. The cause of action that they've relied upon here is private nuisance. In order to succeed in a claim in private nuisance, you need to be able to show that your land has been wrongfully interfered with. But that actually involves an exercise of weighing the respective rights of the parties. So, and they'll look at the social or public interest value in the activity of playing with sports balls in the backyard with your children. And they'll look at the sensitivity of the person that's bringing the claim. They'll look at whether the person that's bringing the claim has taken all reasonable precautions to minimise the interference. I think all of these things weigh against a successful claim for kicking a ball over the fence. There's a huge public interest, obviously, in playing sport, and the court, that's the prism in which the court would look at this.
I mean, if you're trampling the azaleas or ruining the roses, perhaps there's an argument to say that it's a little bit more serious.
Exactly. In fact, there was a famous case in the 70s in England about cricket balls, and it's the one you get taught at law school, about cricket balls going over the fence. And that person was successful in ultimately on appeal in succeeding in proving that there was a nuisance. But the cricket balls were going through their window. The windows were breaking. So obviously, you know, you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like that's what's being alleged here. And usually what you find is, I mean, and the other thing that a court would take into consideration in a case like this is whether what the motive is of the party and whether or not this is actually about cricket balls or whether it's about something completely different.
Yeah, and I think that's the sense that you get when you sort of read Emily Moulton's report of this writ, is that there's perhaps a few different layers of stuff going on. There's the there's the swimming pool, there's the fence which's got the crack in it, there's the cubby house, and I think that, you know, from this distance, I reckon it appears that there's just been an extraordinary breakdown in the relationship at some point. I mean, there would have to be for it to go this far.
I think so. I think if you're the Supreme Court, you just want to just get the parties to the mediation table as soon as possible and just try and get, let common sense prevail.
How much would it cost to bring an action in the Supreme Court?
It can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. A case like this could easily cost $100,000 to take a matter. To file a writ, the filing fee is about $1,500. To get it to a mediation, we're looking at $20,000. It's expensive. Once you've got lawyers charging 6-minute units, you've got to make sure that the cause that you're after is proportionate to the money that you're spending. And often you find clients walk into your office and they say, you know, it's the principal. I want to take this on the principal. But after they've received their first couple of invoices, the principal seems to disappear pretty quickly.
Everyone's got a price, Aaron. Thank you for your time this morning.
Okay, cheers, guys. Bye.
Aaron McDonald from Pragma Lawyers. I don't know. I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy that anything gets to this level of acrimony and rancor. And good morning.
Good morning, Garrett. How are you?
I'm well. Have you ever had an incident
yes,
with your neighbour?
Yes, I have. This is good. This goes back now when I was living in Dublin. There was 8 houses on the road, and we were number 8. And we all sort of moved in at the same time. So the children were of the age of my children. But the boys used to play the football on the road. It was a fairly quiet road. Mm-hmm. And they'd go out and they'd play the football. Now, I had a beautiful garden. And I had a double garden. I had the house was in the middle and the garden was on each side of the house. And it was beautiful. It really was, because I love gardening.
Yeah.
But the lads were there playing this particular day and the ball came into the garden. And I saw it coming in. And I went out. The gate was closed. I went out and they apologised. And I said, don't worry about it. No, don't be worrying. I said, can I have a go at the ball? So I was playing, kicking the ball up and down the road with them for about 10 or 15 minutes. They called me Gary Lineker. But they said that actually, as I said to the lovely man that answered the phone, that ball never came into my garden again. The lads respected the fact that I was part of their play.
Well, see, I like that, Anne. I mean, that's a much nicer way to go about it. You sort of, kill them with kindness.
Do you see, those children grow up. And when they grow up, if they haven't got the right guide hand to lead them, they might turn into nasty little things. But in fairness, they were lovely. Every one of them. Every one of those lads were lovely.
Good on you, Anne. Thank you.
They asked me, could they call me Mrs. Anne? And they did.
That's the approach. That's the way you got to do it, Anne, for sure. Thank you. Appreciate your call.